All right, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think let's start in the 11th. It's the 11th chapter at the first verse. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a potion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high and fears, shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. And desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. And the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd and feathered by these, my son. Be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, you know, when you think like that, it makes you wish you hadn't said a lot of things you said and thought a lot of things you thought. Planned a lot of plans that you planned, went a lot of places that you went. It makes you want to think back and undo and rearrange, don't it? Somebody would say, well, it doesn't me. Well, it is true that you can warn a fool and he'll take no thought to it. But for the wise man, it makes him wish he could make a few rearrangements. Live a few days over and do a little more for God and do it a little different from what he did. But I like the way that Solomon summed up the whole thing when he said the essence or the conclusion of the whole matter is for you and for me to fear God and keep his commandments. Now, when you say fear God, that's a lot. Just to say, fear God, that's saying a lot. A lot of people don't fear God. The Bible said the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. But a lot of people don't even fear God, let alone keep his commandments. But he said the conclusion of the whole thing is not to write a lot of books, not to learn a lot about the books that somebody has written. For he said there's no end to writing books, and much study causes weariness of the flesh. Not to see if you can learn the Bible, but he said rather to fear God and keep God's commandments. So this is what he wants you to do. Is that right? Paul said in his writings, though I understand all mysteries and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have all faith that I could move mountains, he said, it profiteth me nothing if I don't have charity. So then having the gifts isn't the answer, is it? Having the revelation and knowledge isn't the answer, is it? Understanding all mysteries isn't the answer. But rather to fear God and keep God's commandments is the answer. If a man learns to fear God and have a heart full of charity, to keep God's commandments, then everything is well with him. This is the conclusion of the whole matter, said Solomon the wise man. If I can bring myself into a place to where I can submit myself to God, learn to fear God. I read the scriptures the other night where God said, into whom shall I look? Is it not to the man that trembleth at my words? He that trembleth at my words. God said the man that fears God, said I'll take notice of him. The man that strives to keep the commandments of God. This has always had a deep place in my heart. I've watched people down through the years in their different ways, how that they've sought to find favor with God, how they've tried to study, learn a lot out of books, how that they've tried to do a lot of different things, fast their way through, or pray their way through. I've seen them try to pray their way through, and I've seen them fail. I've seen them try to fast their way through, and I've seen them fail. I've seen them turn to the gifts for a ministry, and I've seen them fail. I've watched them down through the years. I've observed them. I've seen them try to get popularity, and try to get fame, try to get on the radios, the televisions, and do all sorts of things, and I've seen it fail. But I've never seen anybody that ever failed that feared God and kept his commandments. I've never seen anybody that ever failed that ever done that. I purpose in my heart years ago when I run across this scripture many years ago, it's still outstanding in my mind, that there was one way to succeed with God. If God is love, then I had to take God into my heart and learn how to love. I had to become charitable and learn how to love, because if you don't have the spirit of charity, you don't have God. Paul said you might be eloquent, you might learn a lot of things, you might have gifts in your life. He said, but without the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of charity, then you are nothing. Christ is the manifested love of God. He's the Spirit of charity in the earth. And unless you have Christ, you're none of His. And so then, the only way to have Christ is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is why that so many times when you come to church, that I upbraid you in the Spirit, and I speak to you in the Spirit, I say so many things to you in the Spirit, because I know that you don't have the fear of God. Jesus one time said, I know you. And he said, I know that you don't have the fear of God. And so it was, and even in his day, people didn't have the fear of God. And I have people that come in here that don't have the fear of God. I can tell they don't have the fear of God. So then, as a consequence of that, I know that they're not wise men. For if they were wise, they'd have the fear of God. A lot of times they'd love to have me to believe that they're wise men. But I know that they're not wise. Any man that's wise would fear God. For who would fail to fear God except a fool? It would take a fool not to fear God. Anybody that didn't fear God, he couldn't be a wise man. He'd have to be a fool. So then I know to begin with they're not wise. A wise man will fear God. What will the fear of God do? It will cause him to keep the commandments of the Lord. One of the commandments of God is that you are to enter into Christ's presence. into the house of God with a spirit of thanksgiving. If you're wise, when you come through those doors, the first thing you'll do is dismiss every thought from your mind, every thought from your heart, until you get a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, a spirit of love, a spirit of gentleness toward the people, toward God, a spirit of submission, if you're wise. But if you're not, if you're a fool, you'll come right on in with the same spirit you've always had of being haughty, contrary, rebellious, and come in with the attitude you want to come in with. Regardless of what the preacher says or what anybody else says, you'll still do it. That's because you are a fool. But a wise man will keep the commandments of God. He fears God. God is not like a judge. God is not like a police officer. God is somebody that can subject you to suffering from now throughout eternity. God isn't just somebody that can take a gun like a policeman can and kill you, and that's the end of it. Or like a judge, sentence you to 15 or 20 years of life in prison, and then you die out of it, and that's the end of it. God is something that can subject you to suffering from now throughout eternity and never release you anymore. Never. So then, as the Bible said, it pays to fear God. To fear God and to keep God's commandments. The whole conclusion of the matter is to observe what God wants, to understand the ways of God, to listen to the preacher and see what the preacher tells you, so that you can give the more earnest heed to what God tells you to do, that you can enter into His sanctuary with thanksgiving, so you can enter into His courts with praise. Whatever He tells the woman to observe, if the woman is the wise woman, she will observe that. If it's being obedient to her husband, she will do that. Whatever He tells the children to do, if it's honor the parents, to reverence the parents, then they will do it if they're wise children. Whatever He tells the husband to do, if it's love the wife, or whatever He tells them to do, they'll do it because they are wise. But if they don't do it, then they're fools. It takes fools to disobey God. It takes fools not to keep the commandment, not to have a fear of God. And I tell you here in every service, over and over, I call your attention to the Word. And I take you back to the ways of God. And I tell you that this is the only thing that will stand in the day of judgment. I read to you here where Solomon said every secret thought that you've ever had, every secret deed that you've ever done, every little plan that you've ever made, every conversation that you've had over the corner somewhere with somebody, he said, in the day of the judgment, it'll be brought to light. Everything you've ever said about Brother Pike in that day, I'll know about it. You might have thought you had it hid, but everything that you've ever thought, everything that you've ever said, in the day of the judgment, God will turn on the light, and I'll see what a hypocrite some of you was in coming to me and telling me the things you told me, and then your thoughts and your plans and desires of your heart that was so contrary to God and so contrary to me. Wouldn't it be better, knowing this, that you're going to have to face me there as well as the other people that you spoke against? Wouldn't it be better now to get away from hypocrisy, to repent in your heart and say, God, I've been some kind of a fool, and get away from it and start from this day on, that God might put it under the blood, that it might not be brought out in the day of the judgment. But it is a true fact. A lot of people, I've heard them, they say, well, what I've said to his back, I'll say to his face. And that's true. A fool can say to your face what he says to your back. It don't make no difference. He's a fool anyway. He can say it to your face, but if he had a little God sense, he wouldn't say it at all, neither to your back nor to your face. Saying, I can say it to the face, don't prove nothing. A lot of fools have went to people's face and said things and got killed for saying it. So that don't prove nothing. But I say this much. If you've got something to say that's right, go to the individual and tell them. Don't get to their back, but don't sit around and give yourself a consolation by saying, well, I'm going to go ahead and say what I feel and what I think, so that when the time comes up, I can say it to his face. Because a lot of you, when you get to the face, what you do is pervert it. I've been with you. I've heard you make the statement, I can say it to the face. But I notice when you get to the face, they pervert it. And they go around the half tell it. And they tell it in a different manner. So then don't do that, because you are supposed to fear God and keep His commandments. And John said one of His commandments is that you love one another, as I have loved you, to love one another. If I love you indeed, not in word, but indeed, I won't talk about you to your back. I won't try to tag you down to your back. But I'll try to do something to help you. I'll come before you. And I'll try to tell you something that'll help you. That's the way God wants it. He wants us to tell something that'll help. He don't want somebody that calls himself bold that'll come over and say, Brother Pike, was you talking about me? I happen to do that all the time. They'll come, I want to know, was you talking about me? A lot of times I just have to tell them to their face, yes, I was talking about you. Now, I don't like to do that, but sometimes I have to do it because they're just stubborn and rebellious and they ain't going to have nothing else anyway. They'll sit around and talk about people and tear people down, run people down, and just as quick as you say something from the pulpit, they'll hit your door. Was you talking about me? They know you's talking about them to start with. They know they got the devil on them to start with, and they know that you're talking about them. And so they can't hardly bear it till they get over there, trying to stir up a rigmarole, a stirring of trouble, so that you'll say, yes, I'm talking about you, so they can get their feelings on their shoulder and say, well, that's the way I thought it was to start with. Goodbye, I'm gone. They're not leaving. They've been gone all the time. They never get here. I said they never move in to start with. They never come in to start with. Paul said, present in spirit, absent in body. They never was present, neither one of them. That's right, they just dropped in occasionally. So then Jesus said to love one another. If I love you, I'm not going to lie to you. If I love you, I'll try to take your arm and help you, stand by you, do something for you. I'll walk with you. I'll try to share what I got with you. A lot of people feel like love is based on the basis as to what you do to me. But love doesn't rest on the strength of what you do to me. Love rests on the foundation of God's word as to what God said we're to do to one another. If I let my love rest on the basis of what people have done to me, I'd never give them an offering. I have brothers all over the country. I'd never give them an offering. I'd never do anything for them because they've done nothing but caused me trouble and caused me heartaches. Some of them wouldn't give me a dime if I starve into death. That's right. You say, oh, they would. No, they wouldn't. If they knew I was starving to death, some of them wouldn't bother to come to me to give me a dime. They'd sit off somewhere and talk about me and say, yeah, I knew he's going to get it sooner or later. I knew it. That's what I believed all the time. If he'd been straight with God, it wouldn't happen to him. I've seen you do it. I've seen some of you do it. Let one brother, little something happen to him. Little something happened to him. Say, yeah, I know it. I know it was coming. I know it was coming. It is true that if something happens to a brother, it's God dealing with him. But the Bible said, don't you look on your brother in the day of his calamity unless God get upset with you and God turn on you. You know what the trouble is? Some of us are not too careful about speaking about God's anointed. Some of us not too careful about putting our finger on God's people. I'll tell you what Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. It'd be better if you didn't say nothing than to say some of the things that some of you say. It'd be better if you just didn't say nothing. The Bible said, in much talk, in many words, there wanteth not sin. You find a fellow that's always talking, always talking, always talking. And you'll find out that that's fellow that's going to sin over and over and over and over. In much talk that wanteth not sin. But the Bible said, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Consider, ponder the path of your feet. Don't be talking all the time. Shut up and let somebody else talk. Amen. That's what you need to do, is shut up and let somebody else talk. You talk too much. Let God talk to you. Let the preacher talk to you. Let the Spirit talk to you. See what the Spirit's got to say to the church. People talk all the time. I have them to come in my presence and I can't tell them nothing. I just sit there. Sometimes they'll sit there for hours listening to them talk. And when they got through, I try to figure out what they said. And everything they said didn't amount to nothing. That's right. If
From the time they started talking to me, they started tearing down the brethren, tearing down the church, tearing down the people, petting their flesh, pitting themselves, talking about the way people felt about them, this, that, and the other. Their relatives, their neighbors, their friends, their problems, everything but God. Find another person come in, start talking, he wouldn't talk 15 minutes, and that person would say more in 15 minutes than them people said in 3 hours. Because they talked about God. They talked about something worthwhile. They talked about something that God put down on a record in something constructive. What we need to do is quit talking so much. People that talk so much cause me trouble. They don't need to talk so much. Be a man of few words, like my cousin. He was a man of few words. He told me to shut up. I didn't shut up. He knocked me down. I mean, I took care of it. He was just that type person. He said, shut up. I said, no. And the next thing I know, I'm spitting out blood on the ground. And I'm not making believe I was spitting out blood. When he said shut up, he meant shut up. He was just that nature. He was just that kind of person. That's the way it ought to be with you. God wants you to shut your mouth. That's what he wants to do. Amen. If you don't shut it, sometime you're going to pick yourself up out of a wreck or somewhere, and you're going to be spitting your teeth out. Because God said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped. Charlie brought it down a while ago. People that wander around on the campground, subverting whole households, just talking, talking, talking. Every time you see them, all they're doing is talking. They never listen. They'll never perfect their faith, because faith don't come by talking. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing the word. Be a good listener. Learn to listen sometimes. You say, well, I feel like I've got whatever needs to be said. But has it ever occurred to you that somebody else might have what needs to be said? You say, well, the person I'm talking to is not grown up as much as I am. The Lord taught me a lesson in my early ministry. I had a man converted unto my ministry. Little old baby come in and talk to me and God. I thought I'd just talk to him. I thought he ought to shut up and let me tell him what he ought to know. I thought, well, you ain't nothing but a baby. You just got saved the other night. And about that time, God willing to rebuke me and show me where I was standing, he began to rebuke me and tell me some things. And the babe in Christ told me some revelation that shocked me. And God said to me, now let that be a lesson for you. When I get ready to speak, I can speak through anybody. So since then, I've done a little more thinking, a little more listening. That's why sometimes I listen to some of you fellas for hours. You say things, and some of you say things that ain't worth the time you take to say it. But I love the Lord, and I thank God for men that'll come to my house and tell me about Jesus, talk about the kingdom of God and the good things of the Lord, what we're going to do for God, how that we're going to step out for Jesus. I'll tell you what, I see some of them coming and I get weary when they start to my door. I do. I just shake my head. I say, Lord, give me grace, because I want to help them. I don't want to hurt them. I just shake myself. I say, give me grace. Because I know when they come, they're going to be there for 3 hours and say nothing. That's right. Some of them I have come, stay 3 hours, I enjoy every minute of it. But some of them stay for 3 hours and say nothing. They won't help me. They won't offer me a dime to support the gospel. They won't give anybody else anything. All they talk about is their ministry, what they're going to do, what God's going to do for them, how this is going to be, how that's going to be, and never help me, never work with me, never. I say, oh God, give me grace. I'll have another feller, he'll come in and just kind of half drop his head and talk about how unworthy he is, and say, Brother Pike, I realize I ain't good as dirt, and maybe the man's giving $400 or $500 every few months in the work of Jesus Christ. I think, what a grand and glorious person. A man that don't feel like he's nothing, is doing everything, and another person come in or another people come in and feel like they're doing everything and ain't doing nothing. The way that some of you talk, you think that you was number one on the list and that you were doing everything that was to be done. And I don't know of nothing some of you are doing. But sitting around causing me trouble and just talking, talking, talking day and night. You talk, 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 talk. There's some mouths that need to be stopped, and it's your mouth. Subverting whole households, dividing the brethren, causing problems, causing division. On the job, you contractors, you need to keep your mouth shut if you can't talk about Jesus and uphold the church and cause unity. You need to just shut up. You workers, that get out there pulling the paintbrush, laying blocks, or whatever you're doing. You need to just shut up if you can't talk about Jesus and talk about something constructive. Don't get a chain of gossip started. You people that say you're missionaries called out on the field, different ones going out to preach, going out to wherever you go to, you need to keep your mouth shut if you can't talk about Jesus and say something good about the church and uphold the kingdom of God. You need to keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want some men that love God, men that want to talk about Jesus. I get so grieved sometimes. They'll come and tell me, somebody say, did you know that Brother So-and-so's been over at Brother So-and-so's for the last few days? I say, has. Yeah, the first thing I think, I say, yeah, birds of a feather. I just think in my mind, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You let somebody be a good gossiper, and it won't be long before he'll tie up with the next good gossiper, and then you'll have a double potion of gossip. Because just as sure as somebody is out of sorts in their spirit, if there's somebody else out of sorts in the spirit, in just a little while, they're going to get together. Just watch them. That's right. That's just like an old hypocrite that'll get out and tell everybody to get away from their sins, get away from the sins, get away from their sins, and go home, sit down, begin to chew the cud, and watch the ball game. That's a hypocrite. Hell's going to get hot. That's just like a song. Brother Taylor kept singing the song a while ago. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thought about when he was singing it, how that in the vision, I wrote this song from a vision. I had a vision, and in this vision, how that I went into this place and saw this chamber, and how that people was just walking up and down in this tight chamber that was thick. Looked like the walls was just thick, 3 or 4 feet, 5 feet thick, real thick. You couldn't get out of it. And the Lord suffered me to be in it for a few minutes. And I saw people wandering with little babies in their arm, poor and desolate, barren, wandering souls, walked up. Their human person was so pitiful. Wandering spirits, people, wandering through dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. If you today could just see what you really look like when a spirit of the devil's got you, if you could know your image in the sight of God, how that he said, I'll despise your image in the morning, how warped up and twisted up you are in your frame of mind and in your nature. And I saw these people, and they were just wandering to and fro, and they were so pitiful. I thought, God, how awful, let me out of this place, let me out of this place. In a little while, the door opened, and God let me out. I got out into the air, and oh, how wonderful. I thought, what kind of people are these? Where do these people come from? Now, I want you to see this now. And the Lord took me just up around the corner now, and I looked, and there was supposed to be Church of God people, Assembly of God people, Baptist people, and Pentecostal people, and they were sitting at a ball game praying for their baseball team. Mini skirts, all kind of lipstick, and every kind of mess you could mention. And there they sat praying for their ball games. If that ain't blasphemy against the Spirit, I never heard it in my life. Going out to those kind of things. Years ago they had a song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. If somebody had said something about that in a Pentecostal church, it'd run him slap out of town if he called himself a Christian. But now you could go sing it in the choir. It wouldn't make no difference. Just tell them you're singing it about their ball team. That's all you'd have to do. Like old Roberts over here in Memphis, when he said he got up, he had a big meeting, got up over there and told him, said, there's one thing about it. I know that I got this meeting, but I can't be at this meeting and be at my ball team too. And said, I've got to leave one of them. So he left the meeting and went to the ball game. Ain't that Christianity? That's the kind of shape the world's got in. When God showed me these wandering souls and that they were in prison, and when I got out of that place and I started down the road, I looked and saw a house over to the left, and I saw a woman like she was dusting a rug or something, just a common housewife. There was, you know, cleaning up and all. And I was so thankful to get out of that place, I lifted my hands to God, And I was shouting to the top of my voice. And I was singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said, Lord, I know they think I'm crazy, but I don't care. What I've seen and what I know, I'm singing this to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I still feel it now. I'll tell you what, when you get out of them dry places, get with God, you'll be singing hallelujah too. What a wonderful thing to have the love of God, not to sit around and gossip and backbite and be miserable. The Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. Some of you people don't know what peace is. The Bible said the paths of peace, you've never known it. You're miserable, wretched, naked, blind. Didn't he say that was the last church age? People are miserable, they're wretched, they're naked, they're blind. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they've been. They don't know what they're doing. And somebody said, I could care less about it. That's the attitude of today. But I tell you what, I know where I've been. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm at. And I care a whole lot about it. Because I must be about my Father's business, Jesus said. And I've got something that I've got to do. The song said, I don't have time to sit and tarry and gossip. I got a message I must carry. I want to work for Jesus. I want to sing for Jesus. I want to give for Jesus. When I stand in the day of judgment, I want it on my record that I helped somebody go in the mission field for Jesus. If I can't get into the mission field, I want to send somebody else. I want to help you. If I can't go to the next town, I want to help you. A lot of people say, well, bless God, you don't ever help me. Well, I could say, bless God, you don't ever do nothing to be helped. Somebody said, but I do something all the time. I know you do. Run your mouth all the time. Some people think living for God and working for God is just going from one door or one person to another, just running your mouth, running your mouth, running your mouth. That ain't working for God. Some other people might think, well, just sitting down, just doing nothing, working for God. That ain't working for God. My brother, when you get out here and you preach the gospel, when you help the widow, somebody said, well, I got to tell them about Jesus. There's more than just telling them. There's a little girl that needs a dress, I tell them. There's a little boy that needs a pair of shoes, I tell them. Somebody said, well, somebody else is supposed to do that. I ain't supposed to do it. But that wasn't what the Bible said. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father's this is to go out and preach to somebody. No, it didn't say that, did it? I said it didn't say that. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father's go to church. Say amen. It didn't say that either, did it? It didn't say that. It said pure and undefiled religion before God is to do this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And then keep yourself unspotted from the world. Is that right? Pure and undefiled religion is to plead the cause of the widow. To do something for the orphan. A lot of people are going to be there in the judgment waiting for God to reward them and find out they didn't do anything. Don't it say in the day of judgment, the Lord will say, I told you to preach the gospel and you didn't preach it. I told you to testify. You didn't testify. It didn't say that, did it? He said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You never visited with me. That's what he said. Then he'll say to him, go away out of the presence of God into everlasting damnation. But said he turned to the others and said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick in prison, you visited me. Then he'll say, enter into life, thou good and faithful servant. Not he that doeth say, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father? To visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, keep yourself unspotted in the world. Some of you are so greedy you could never visit the orphans and the widows. You keep your nose to the grinding stone, always buying yourself a car, buying yourself furniture, got some kind of bill over here and some kind of bill over yonder, going out over here to eat, going out over yonder to do something, traveling, vacationing, always. Never nothing to do for God. Can't never do nothing for God. Can't never help an evangelist. Can't never help a missionary. Cause all of your labors for your belly. Cause your belly crazy of you.
Now, they make their belly their God. But brother, what we need to do is to get a vision for God. We need to share with the orphan, share with the widow, share with somebody, help carry the gospel. I don't tell you to go out here and give you money to somebody that says they're called to preach. That don't mean nothing. People everywhere are saying they're called to preach. There's people that's getting out on the corners and taking up offerings. You go through a city like Florida somewhere, you meet a boy standing out in the street, down on a busy corner, taking an offering for heart funds or something. Well, that boy don't even know nothing about heart funds. They're taking some kind of offering over there for some kind of widow. They don't know nothing about widows. All it is they got stranded. They're pushing and peddling dope. And they got stranded in some kind of city and they can't figure out how to get out of there. So they got them a gimmick. I know that because I've heard them laugh and tell about how they done it. I've run into some of them. Like a friend of mine down here, you've heard me tell it, down here in Macon, Georgia, run into a man on the street. The man said, "Sir, please help me and give me an offering." The brother was a Christian, pretty smart. He said, "Well, what's the matter?" The man said he was hungry. He said, "Well," said, instead of giving an offering, he said, "Come on, we'll just go get something to eat." When he said that, the man said, "I ain't hungry." Said, "I was wanting an offering." So the man began to shame him about it. And the man said, "You know," said, "you're right. Knowing that you're a Christian," said, "I might as well tell you the truth." He said, "I got stranded in the city years ago and couldn't get out of there. And I started bumming offerings and found out I could make more money doing that than I could working on a job. And said, I've been doing it for years and now I got me a beautiful ranch just about paid for out in Texas and I'm fixing to get out of the business and go home." Now, somebody said, "Well, I'll tell you right now, that's stooping mighty low." I agree with you. That's almost as low as some of you stoop when you steal God's money. That's almost as low as you stoop. When you steal God's money and you let the widow go hungry, let the orphan go hungry. Somebody said, "Why don't you preach the gospel?" The Bible said for me to plead the cause of the orphans and the widows. That's my job. That's what the gospel is. Some of you let them go hungry. You wouldn't send a dime into Africa. You wouldn't send a dime into Mexico. You wouldn't do nothing for the poor. Somebody said, "Well, I got the poor at heart." I know you have. While you're swallowing down your steak, you got them at heart. I've heard some of you be eating and drinking and blowing up like a balloon all the time. You talk about them poor orphans, them poor people. My, how bad it is. It's bad, all right. It's bad enough that God's going to burn you in hell because you didn't share what you got with them. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches, to fear God and to keep His commandments. We need to fear God and keep His commandments, and His commandments was that we take care of the needy. God didn't set up some place over yonder, this, what do they call it, these places they got today where they take care of people, the welfare. God didn't tell the welfare to take care of people. God told the church to take care of the needy. That was the job of the church. I made the statement. That's the reason the welfare is getting along so good. People got to noticing that the welfare was doing more than the church. So they quit giving their money to the church and started giving it to the welfare. What we need to do is plead the cause of the orphan and the widow and take what we got and share. Somebody said, "Well, I don't have enough to share." I know some of you don't have enough because the Bible said you're greedy dogs that don't ever get enough. If He gave you a barrel full of gold, you wouldn't have enough. You ain't never got enough. If you get that television out of the living room, throw it out in the river somewhere, get rid of it, that'd be some you could give right there. Somebody was telling me the other day how many different coats they had, how many different shoes they had, how many different suits they had. If you take all of them but what you need and give them to the poor, give them to somebody that would help, you'd feel different. You'd be better off. What you need to do is share what you got. Jesus said, "Give of that you got, and behold, all things are clean unto you." What you need to do is practice giving. You said, "But Brother Pike, we just give $200 in the offering." No, you didn't. They did. You didn't. They did. Who? The ones that give it. They did. You didn't give it. Some of you might have squeezed out a little bit, and that'll trouble you. That'll trouble you. Some of you give a dollar to trouble your wife for the next week because she can't spend it on Coca-Cola or something.
or to trouble you. But what you need to do is give freely. Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. Give to God. Give of that which you have. Share. Somebody said, but I haven't got enough. The widow had enough. She had one cake. That was enough. If you got one cake, you got enough to give. Now, somebody said, well, I just don't have enough, Brother Pike. But when Jesus said that, the sanctuary and the little widow gave all of a living, he said, that's enough. If you got anything to buy bread with, if you give it, that's enough. The little boy didn't have nothing but a few little fishes and a loaf or two of bread, but he gave it. That was enough. That's all he had. Whatever you got, you share it with God. If you wait till you get enough, you won't never get enough. The flesh don't never get enough. I got people here that share with me. I don't know of any of them that's went hungry. I don't know of any of them that's done without. Somebody said, well, I've done without what? You might have done without a stick of margarine. Like a preacher told me one time, he said he was really having hard times. I said, what's wrong? He said, I ain't got no butter to go on the bread. I thought, well, you're in good shape. A lot of times I don't have no bread to go on the butter. But today, that same preacher's in bad shape, almost in a dying condition. What we need to do is fear God and keep His commandments. I've been preaching Revelation night after night. But I think what we need to do is discover some things now. We need to find out whether we're Christians or not. I feel like that if we could get the fear of God in us this year, that this year is a great time for God. I don't agree with Brother Terrell in his outlook. I believe Brother Terrell's a great man. I believe he's doing a great job. And I believe he's done a lot in the foreign fields, a mission. But on gathering all this food up, I don't agree with him. The way I understand, if he's got 1,000 acres of grain, what he ought to do is take every bit of it and give it to the poor. Give it to the orphan. Let God meet his need in the famine. My people are not storing up something here. Somebody say, well, they'll starve to death. Well, we all starve to death together. Say, you starve to death. Well, we starve to death and wake up in heaven. I'd rather starve to death and wake up in heaven than store everything up, starve to death and wake up in hell. I'd rather trust God to meet my needs. Just like tonight, if we're going to give to the missionaries, let's trust God to meet our needs. Say, well, you lose everything that you got. You lose the church, you lose the campground, you lose everything. I can say I lost it for a worthy cause. I don't know of a better place to put it than in the mission fields, do you? Hallelujah. I feel like we need to serve God. If we'll get up from here and won't be lazy, get up and quit like a man, quit when the job gets done. I made the statement a lot of times, the Bible said quit like a man. A lot of us are like a bunch of children. We quit when we get tired. But what you need is a bunch of men that'll quit when the job gets done. I want to quit when the job gets done. If the job isn't finished in Mexico, then why should we quit? If the building isn't finished, then why should we quit? If the ground's not finished, why should we quit? Somebody said, I've done my part. I wonder what your part was. I wish somebody would go out there and put their finger on their part and take me out there and let me see what part they done. It's just about a routine thing that whoever done one part done the other part too. I found out that the man I can trust usually done his part and your part too. And he's usually the man that don't ever say nothing about his part. Usually the ones that talk about their part is one that don't have any part a lot in the matter to begin with, as Peter said. Their heart's not right with God, and they're in the galls of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. But there's one thing about it. The faithful few, like Gideon's army, you can always count on them. If you take an offering, it'll be the faithful few that gives it. Somebody say, but everybody give. They might give $1. They might give 50 cents. But I'm talking about somebody that gives an offering. Some of you don't average giving $25 a month. Come on. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, Brother Pike, $25 a month. How much do you expect? My. I tell you what, if you was giving $125 a month, you wouldn't be doing nothing. I said, if you was giving $125 a month, you wouldn't be doing nothing. The Bible said if you give your whole body a living sacrifice, it's a reasonable service. You ain't even got into reasonable service if you give $125 a month. Why don't we do something for God, folks? You know, when you're doing something for God, when it gets down in your meal barrel. That's right. When it gets down in your meal barrel, that's when you're doing something for God. Somebody said, well, I'm doing something for God. It's done got down my meal barrel. You ain't never worked enough to have a meal barrel. I said, you ain't never done enough work to have a meal barrel. You ain't out of meal because you give it to God. You're out of meal because you're lazy. You never did buy none. The Bible said labor that you might have to give to God. Somebody said, I'm poor because they'll give it all away. You couldn't have done that. You never did have none to give away. If you don't work, you ain't got nothing to give away. You love the Lord? So then what we need to do is fear God and keep His commandments. Let's labor that we might have something to give. You say, but I'm called to preach. Well, preach and labor too. Somebody said, but you can't do that. Well, Paul did. The man that had the greatest revelation of all. That's one thing I appreciate about James, Brother James Torrance right here. James is over 60 years old, ain't you, James, or about that. He don't look like it to me. He looks like he's about 40-something. But anyway, he works. I mean, he works and works and works and works and works. He just keeps on working. All the time working. Sometime going, Brother Terrell's tent and give him everything he's got. Works. Other day, just like a worm on a hot rock. He's miserable. I said, what's the matter with you? He was wanting to go back to work. They done retired him. He's still wanting to go back to work. Now, I don't too many times tell people they don't need to go back to work. But I told James, I said, I don't think you need to go back to work. I said, I think you need to do something for the Lord. Get out on the field. Brother Lathan agrees with me. Get out on the field and do something for God. He's done worked enough. But some of you fellas need to go to work. You've got a few years ahead of you yet. Labor that you might have to give. Labor that you might have to give. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Fear God and keep His commandments. What is His commandments? Labor that you might have to give. Visit the orphan, the widows in their affliction. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Somebody said, Brother Pike, are you preaching so you can take another offering? No. No, we're not preaching to take another offering tonight. We might get one next week. You love the Lord? If I talk to you good now, you might feel better next week. No, I don't want your money. I'm not talking for your money. I'm telling you one thing, folks. If you've got religion, there's something you need to know. And I'm going to close out here in just a few minutes. One thing is the Bible said, if any man among you seem to be religious, and if that man bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. There's some mouths that ought to be stopped. You got people that think they got religion, but if somebody said their tongue is like it's tied in the middle and cut loose at both ends, what they need to do is to bridle their tongue, because if they don't bridle their tongue, their religion is in vain. They say, how do you bridle the tongue? By putting the Word on it. This is the best bridle I know. Just put the Word on it, and every time it starts to move, pull it the way the Word says, and you got a good bridle. Got a good bridle. It'll work real good. Just make it say what the Word says and you'll be all right. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? All right, let's stand together. You know, I don't preach on giving much. I ought to preach on it more, I guess. Maybe I will. But I don't preach on it much, but I felt like tonight you'd already give, so you couldn't say I was preaching to get an offering. Because you already give me one, so it's a good time to preach on giving. But I hope, in my heart, I hope that some of you will wake up to the responsibility that you got in God. Friend, let me tell you, don't go to meet God having eat, drank, slept, have the good things of life and let Lazarus have the bad. Have God to look at you like He did the rich man and say you had your good things in your lifetime, Lazarus likewise the bad. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go before the judgment thinking just because you shout, because you speak in tongues, because you feel the Spirit of God, because you say that you're Christian, because you go to church, that you're going to make it in. Don't do that. Because that won't do it. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, this is the will of the Father.
You'll be judged by every thought you thought, by every word you said, by every deed you done. And I'll tell you what, I'd love to do a few good ones, wouldn't you? I'd love to do a few good ones. Try having love. Try having charity. Try swearing to your own hurt. Try submitting yourself to another. Try listening at what they've got to say sometimes. Trying to feel their infirmities. Let them tell you what they've got to say. Sometimes it ain't worth a hill of beans. But listen to it anyway. You might be able to help the person. Who knows? They might have a need. It might be revealed in a conversation to where you can help them and do something for them. So listen to them as mothers and daddies, fathers in the Lord, mothers in the Lord, to where you can help them. Some of you ladies, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You got so many grunts and groans until you can't help the little folks. Some of the little people go down there to talk to you about God, just babies and crying. And you got so many grunts and groans because of your husband, because of your children, because of your problems, because of what you think, and because of being backslid, that when the little fellas leave, they wish it never went down there. It felt better if it stayed at home. I went around sometimes, and maybe some little people in God had come down to get a helping hand. And the elders would grunt and groan so much, until before the little fellas left, they'd have to pick them up and give them a helping hand. I noticed little Joe up here tonight, he's just rubbing my back. I find the little fellas having to help the elders. That's a shame and a disgrace, ain't it? The little people having to help the elders. But you're going to mumble and grumble till you die in the wilderness, that old carnal mind. I've done seen some sorrow for some of you. I've seen some of you getting out of line, too. You say, well, why don't you come and tell me? It wouldn't do me no good to tell you. I done told you a half a dozen times. It wouldn't do me no good. There ain't no need of me coming and tell you. I'm going to tell this right here. I've mentioned it before here. Middle Georgia Bottling Company. I was working on a job. I believe a preacher can work and preach too. I don't think it hurts him. We were doing some work last night. It didn't hurt me. But I was working at Middle Georgia Bottling Company trying to preach, trying to drive a drink truck way back in. And I had a night vision. And in this night vision, I saw a man get on a truck. And I saw him leaving that truck. And I saw him have a wreck with two other people in it. Well, really, I knew he wasn't supposed to have nobody in there, because you ain't supposed to pick up nobody. But in the vision, I saw him with two people in there. He had a wreck. Looked like he ran into a telephone post and cut it down, the best I remember. So, sure enough, I got up the next morning, and I thought I'd tell him, but the Lord fixed it to where I couldn't. And I thought, well, I done told him anyway. I guess it don't make any difference. I've been told him anyway. I talked with him, He just laughed it off. But that morning, sure enough, he left. He traded trucks with a fella, one that was hard to handle. And he boasted about how he had driven it before and he could handle it. So he kind of tail heavy, and he traded with him. Well, that evening when I got back from my run, I found out that he had a wreck. And sure enough, there was two people in it. He had picked up two hitchhikers, I believe. I believe in the vision, just as it was, that he cut out a telephone post. And I never got to see him until, I guess it was, probably months and months later. And I happened to be in the hospital. And I was walking down through the rooms and talking to some of them. And I went into this room, and there he lay in the bed. Had his feet way up in the air, and you know how they do them. And the first thing he said to me, he said, why didn't you tell me? See, when he knew about the vision, it tore him up. And I thought, the many times I tried to talk to you about God, and you just didn't pay no attention to it. But he said, I'm paralyzed from my waist down, never have no more feeling in my body from my waist down. The last time I saw him, he was driving a car, but he had to sit in the car and take a stick, you know, and work the pedals. That was pitiful. He was a young, fine-looking person, but he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. Some of you won't listen. There's a brother that's dead, was killed in a wreck on Highway 38. I talked with him over and over. But he's dead. He's gone. Others that's been hurt. Others that's been killed. Numbers of them. A woman just wrote me from another state and asked me to explain to her why her boy was killed in a wreck. The same boy that I talked to and over and warned her. Why? Some of you have had one narrow escape right after another. Some of that's been in wrecks. Some of it's been in heartaches. Some's been in other things. But you won't listen. You forget too easy. You forget. As long as you're not having troubles, you forget. And you just bid your time and keep pressing. And keep pressing until after a while. It's like that. The Bible said you warn the fool, he'll go right on till the dart strikes through his liver. Then he'll say, I'm sorry, but it's too late. Just like Brother Keith, a young fellow that needs help. Look at the sorrow he's having. One sorrow right after another. Just said that now, after just getting out of the prison thing, that his little baby was laying on the bed, rolled off the bed in between the wall and the heater, got caught against the heater. Little bitty baby, precious little thing. I told him over and over, I said, y'all heard me down here. I said, I got a feeling that the devil is after that baby. Gonna strike at that baby. Well, said it got, well, I don't know what second degree burns. I don't know what that is. I believe it was second degree burns. And said they wouldn't even have found the baby, but said it screamed out. And when it screamed out, then they went to look for the baby and they found it pinned in between the bed and the heater. Up against the heater, probably would have burned it to death if it hadn't got to it. The devil was after the baby. Now see, isn't that pitiful? A little bitty baby has got to suffer because of mom and daddy. A little bitty baby has got to suffer. Now every time we look at the little babies, when they get in that kind of condition, then we know that we're to blame for it. We're to blame for it.